things we've never heard and seen on a level we've never heard and seen, to do things on a level we were called to do. And it's time to get there. I see that, Lord. I'm seeing it in the Spirit right now. And today, and everything that has been up to today, will pave the way for that next level for this generation. God, help us. We thank you. We glorify you. It's all for your glory. Everything's for your glory. Every skit, every song, every dance, every sermon, everything we do in the glory, for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. If you got your Bibles, turn to Hebrews 13. You're getting ready. You better get ready. I mean, get ready today. If you're ever going to not sleep in a service, it's this one. Because this will absolutely change your life. Last year, you might remember, I went through a change where I was going to Oral Roberts University. Does anybody remember that? And the Lord had called me to go to Oral Roberts University to be the spiritual athletic advisor. Well, that really tickled my ears. Really sounded good. And, you know, for a long time, I got a little bit nervous about it. I mean, God, how can I do this? I've been preaching for this long, and I know it sounds good. Here I am, I've been in athletics, and here I have been in the ministry and spiritual and athletics, and it sounds good. But I don't think I can do it. I don't think I can do it by myself. So he gave me a verse, and this was the verse he gave me right here. In Hebrews 13:20 in the Amplified. Now may the God of peace, who is the author and the giver of peace, if you don't have your Bible or the Amplified, look up here, who brought again from among the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, so he, you know, they're saying, here's the God, the Shalom, God of Shalom. This is the God who brought Jesus from the dead, that powerful thing he did. All right, go to the next verse, please. The great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood that sealed and ratified the everlasting agreement, but through the blood covenant, all right, now he's talking about covenant. May he, everybody say he. Now watch this. God knew that I couldn't do it. God knows you can't do it. Are you with me? Some of you go, man, I'm not strong enough, or I don't have any Bible school background. I don't know any verses. May he strengthen and complete and perfect. May he make you what you ought to be. May he equip you with everything good that you may carry out his will. That takes the pressure off right there. Now, I remember in Little League Baseball, well, when Steve played it back in the 20s, I played it back in the late 60s and the 70s. But Steve can relate to me a little bit. They didn't have sporting goods stores around every corner. Remember? I mean, if you had a ball, man, you were doing good. You usually probably had to find a stick. You didn't have, everybody now, kids have their own bats. They have their own bags. You know what I'm talking about? They have their own design on their bat and helmet. You had to wait for the coach to get to practice before you could play. There's no playing. He had the equipment bag. Are you with me? It's usually a big old green duffel army bag that he had in World War II. It's the truth, isn't it, Rock? And every equipment was in that bag. And you didn't play until he got there with that bag. And I think about the Lord. He's got the equipment bag. He's the equipment manager. He's got everything that you... He will equip you and strengthen you and perfect you. Man, when I heard that, the pressure was off. To do this, everything good that you may carry out his will, why he, let's go on to the next one, himself works in you and accomplishes that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ the Messiah. To him be the glory. Now that's what it's all about. And everything you do in word and deed, do to the glory of God. I used to, mom's got a series on me, I was the black sheep of the family, but it helped her out, gave her a lot of material. So I just want to, you know, get a little bit of accomplishment for that. But anyway, She always teaches on this one. I came to her in college and I said, show me where you can't drink beer. I don't find it in there. And so she goes to that verse and says, can you go drink a beer and do it to the glory of God? Honestly, ask yourself. Can't do it. I don't even really think I can go to a party and give God glory. Just ask yourself, when you're on a date, will this give glory to God? You say, are you with me? Because everything you do in word and deed, deed is actions and words is what you say. So what you're about to say to that person, ask yourself, is that going to give glory to God? Mom used to always, we can't talk bad about anybody to mom. You can't do it. I don't care what they've done. Because what she'll stop you and she'll say, what you're about to say to me, is it going to give God glory in any way? No, but you don't understand. Steve said that, you know. And she'll say, well, for your sake and mine, let's don't, if it's not going to give God glory, let's just pray for him and bless him. And all right? See what I'm talking about? Now, so I get this verse, pressure's off. I'm going to go be the spiritual athletic advisor. Woo! Going, God's going to help me. He's going to open the doors. He'll connect me with these athletes, 240 athletes. Going to Oral Roberts University. Man, that tickled my ears. Sounded right up my alley. And you know, God had to put that label on it. That's not the main reason why he took me there. Because if he would have told me the main reason I'm going there, I wouldn't have went. If he would have said, Chip, I need you to go to Oral Roberts University. Satan himself is there waiting on you. That's what happened. I don't know if y'all read the paper or watched Larry King live. That's what happened. Satan's there. You'll be not just on the front lines, but the front of the front lines. He'll attack everything to do with Oral Roberts, Richard Roberts' family, try to bring that down, and he's going to attack anybody who has anything to do with it, and I'm putting you right by him. So you'll be getting a lot of that too. Have a nice day. No, man, I'm going spiritual athletic advisor. Woo! Got my card, spiritual athletic advisor. Where's my office? But not knowing that all hell is about to break out. Not knowing the real reason why I was supposed to be there. So I get there, and I'm on a peaceful day, spiritually advising the athletes. Doing my job. Richard called me. I knew something was wrong. Called me up to his house. And man, we sat down and he told me the attack that had come. And I'm telling you guys, I've been in through some wars. We've been through wars. And you know, I'm going to tell you something. Mom always says, you know, Satan is not, he can't be everywhere at once like God can. He's not omnipresent. He's not like God. He can only be in one spot at one time. Therefore, a lot of people think that, or you'll hear people say, well, yeah, I battled Satan himself, or I've been battling Satan, and probably not. He's spending his time with leaders of countries and people who are really against his kingdom. And that school is definitely, he's been trying to stop that school for a long time. Well, Richard was there, and he's saying all these allegations have come out, this and that. The CNN's going to get on it. All this news is going to get on it. They're coming against us. There's false allegations. They're suing us. They're blah, this, that. We were believing God to make payroll every month. Richard and I would stay up late, and Candy, my wife, with Lindsay. And these attacks came in on the front page of the paper, and they came everywhere. And every one of Richard's friends, everyone that he ever had. Now, if you don't believe me, is my wife here? Candy, are you here? She's back here. Every one of them left them when that attack came. Every one of them believed, Christians, born-again, spirit-filled believers, believed what they read in the paper. Believed it. We knew better, but they believed it. And there they were, broken down, and God, and Candy and I all of a sudden knew that we were sent there for this reason. And we were helping them, and we were helping them. And it was a heavy load. Man, I'm talking about bombs after bombs after bombs. And it was, when you fight Satan himself, it's just 2 o'clock in the morning, doing the right things, not getting offended, praying for those who persecute, walking in love, doing the things that we've been taught to do. No, we didn't want to do it. And it hurt more, and the next day, front page, next day, and more allegations. It just got worse and worse, and we're fighting. I'm just going to tell this group here. I won't tell this when I preach anywhere else. But a couple months before that, in his living room, him and I were just sitting and having dinner and watching TV, and he came to me and says, with tears in his eyes, "Chip, I'm not called to be the president of this university. My dad gave it to me." He said, "I knew I had to do it for a while, but he said, I'm not supposed to be that anymore. My calling's not there." And so now all this comes out, and they're wanting his job and all this attack, and I knew that he knew that. But then he tells me, "Well, I didn't want to go out this way." He said, "But I knew to be obedient. I should have been obedient last year and got out that way." So we knew what to do, not to focus on the past. We're pressing in, doing everything that we've been taught to do, and we break through. And I'm telling you, I don't know if you've ever been here, but we win. I mean, we come out victorious. Now, when we came out victorious, we looked like this. Our hair was straight up, fire, smoke, still had, fire going on here. We won. Are you with me? Does everybody see what I'm talking about? Yay! Trying to high-five each other. Can't even talk. You just, whoa. And we won. God won. God did it. I'm telling you, there is no way Richard and I could have done it. There's no way. And there were a lot of praying going on, a lot of things going on. But just to give you a quick result of what happened, the testimony. Richard calls me late at night and he said, "God just spoke to me." I said, "What did he say?" He said that if I resign, now remember, he knew that he wasn't supposed to be the president. He said, "If I resign, that God said, I will bless you and your ministry, and I will bless the school." Because the school is dear in Richard's heart. 2 days after, he does it, 2 days later, we were $55 million in debt, believing God every month to hit payroll. 2 days later, a man walks in and offers a check for $70 million. 2 days later. Since then, Richard's ministry has tripled. Okay? Things have changed. We came out of there. Yay! Are you with me? But you know what the Lord said to me after that? About 2 weeks after that, he wakes me up for the whole night and he says to me, "That battle didn't have to take as long as it took. And it didn't have to be as hard as it was." He said, "It's time to start entering into a sweatless, effortless victory." He said, "Not every champion has to sweat to win." Oh, you ain't getting... That's music to my ears, man. Especially when you come out of something like that. God's telling me not every champion, not every winner has to sweat to win. There's a thing called effortless, sweatless victory. Anybody interested in that? I believe it's time, don't you? I believe it's time for the body of Christ in this generation to know about this power, this effort. And when you go through something like that, you want to hear what he's got to say. I don't want to go through that again. Glory to God. Are you with me? Are you ready for your life to change? I'm telling you, what I'm about to tell you, I told 240 athletes. Because the Lord showed it to me and we applied it with these athletes. And six of them, everybody say six. Six. Six out of 240 athletes committed to it, applied it, and their lives have never, ever been the same. They have absolutely went off the charts. Six out of 240. I wonder who that six will be in here today. I wonder. It's not going to be everybody. I want it to be everybody. But it's not. I wish it would. But it won't. There'll be some who come in, "Oh, that sounds good. Yeah, that's a good word, Chip. That's good." But there'll be some. who listen to every word. Doesn't matter how hungry they are, how tired they are, or how much sleep they got, and they'll commit themselves to what they're about to hear. Because it's not about me. Are you with me? Has nothing to do with it. But He'll equip you and He'll strengthen you to complete the job, His will in your life. Amen. And there's going to be some people in the sound of my voice. They're going to come out. All of you guys are not preachers. All of you guys are not in the fivefold ministry. Some of you are going to be basketball players. Some of you are going to be singers. Some of you are going to be actors in Hollywood. God needs some in there. Amen. There's going to be people in here that are going to go to another level that the world is not going to be familiar with. Oh, come on now. But He will equip you and He will strengthen you. And there is a power. The Lord kept telling me, power is what produces results. Power is what produces results. Learned that in sixth grade science, I think. Amen. So are you with me still? You ready to hear about this? Are the six listening? Glory to God. All right, now, here's what the Lord revealed to me. I'm going to read that again. You see, this is how He said to me, contrary to popular belief, not everyone who wins had to sweat in order to win. For some people, it may require a lot of work to do an assignment. But for someone who is plugged into the power, he can get results with no sweat, not much effort, and accomplish it with excellence. Now, when He meant excellence, that meant for the glory of God. And everything we do, all for His glory, due to the glory of God. Amen. Now, the tragic thing the Lord said about this is He said that most Christians are missing this source of power, this source of victory, this source of guaranteed effortless victory in their daily lives. Daily lives. All right? God said it's time to plug into the power. When God says it's time to plug into the power, it's time to plug into the power. Amen. But He said power produces results. Now, if I have a microphone and I have the amplifier and I bought this equipment, this is how the Lord showed it to me. He's getting ready to describe some of you or me. And this is all brand new equipment and I have the knowledge of how this equipment works. I bought it. Plug it in. I expect my voice to be amplified, right? But let's say somebody pulls the cord. Are you with me? Even though I have all of this knowledge, now we're going to get into Christians here in a second. Even though I have all this knowledge and I have all the right equipment, it's not going to happen, is it? Why? No power. Power produces results. Everybody say it. Power produces results. Now, let's take Christian 1 and Christian 2. Thing 1 and thing 2, all right? They both have the right equipment. They both have the Bible. They both been to C4C. They both have good churches. They both have good youth pastors. They both have never missed a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, special service at their church. They have the right spiritual equipment and the knowledge. They know about faith. They're saying confessions, daily confessions. They're doing everything they know to do. They've got all the right equipment, just like the microphone and the amplifier. Are you with me? I need your heads to do this or this. And everything's there, but one will succeed and one will fail. Even though they have the same equipment, same knowledge, everything, what's the difference? One is plugged in to the power. One is tapped into a power that will produce results. They can't do it, but the power can. Amen. And we're going to find out about that power. So that may be you. Man, I've been coming to these things. I've been saying these things. Everything you were teaching, man, I ain't getting no results. I'm getting absolutely no results. I go back to our schools after these skits. I go back after all of these sermons. No results. You know what produces results? All right, you ready to know about the power? Man, I see some of you ain't ready. Some of you are ready. But there will be six of you for sure. Oh, glory to God. You better hold on. I mean, you better really. I said, hold on. Now, Ephesians 3:20. Would you put Ephesians 3:20 up here? Now, to him who. Now, this ain't to everybody. This is to him who. Are you with me? So this don't qualify to you if you're sitting there yawning, too cool for school, and don't want to do anything I'm getting ready to say. Or the Lord, this don't qualify for you. This is for the other Christian, number two. Are you with me? Okay. Now to him who, by inconsequence, let's do King James first. Is that all right? Guys, they're talking back here. You paying attention? King James, all right. You, Randy, I'm looking right at you. I'm getting ready to make you do push-ups. I'm teasing. All right, here we go. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly. Above, that sounds like a different level. Above all that we can ask or think, according. Everybody say according. To the. You better be plugged into the. I don't care how much knowledge you know. It's good to know. Study to show thyself approved. I'm not saying you have to have that. You need that. But according to the power that worketh in you. Are you plugged into it? Are you working it? Now let's look at the Amplified on that one. Cricket. Now to him who by inconsequence of the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose. Remember, we talked about that in Hebrews. His purpose and to do superabundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think. Beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. Man, that's a different level if you ask me. Now, let's find out about this. What did we tap into at ORU? What do those six do? Now, before we get there, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. I'll just go quickly over it. If you can turn there, you can turn there. This know also that in the last days, how many believe we're in the last days? Now, if God has given you a desire of your heart, I'm going to try to get you to get a little bit more motivated here in the next few minutes because you're about to hear it. Your spirit is about to do this inside of you. It's about to hear something it was born to hear. The day you were born again, you were born to hear what you're about to hear now. Because nobody was created to be common. We were created to reach the world. And it's time for our fame to reach the world, just like Jesus' fame went throughout the region. Are you with me? It's time for yours. It's not because of your fame. It's all for the glory of God. And if you do it for your fame, the power will not be there. But if you do it for the glory of God, your fame, well, I don't care what you do. You're a singer, you're getting ready, the world's going to know about it. You a basketball player, world's going to know about it. You a businessman, you make gourmet popcorn. Now, you might laugh at that, but you're going to hear a testimony here in a second about that. Glory to God. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also, that in the last days, are we in the last days? Perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, unthankful. And the list goes on and on and on. Disobedient to parents. Look at that one, guys. I wouldn't want to be that in the last days. Now, do you know who they're talking about here? For years, I've read that, and I thought they were talking about the evil people. Well, they go down here in verse, I think it's verse 5, they're talking about church folk. Now, watch what it says in verse 5? Yeah, 5. Okay, there it is. Having a form. Everybody say form.
Form.
One more time.
Form.
Having a form of godliness. Church, we got the form down. We are champion form people. We need no more practice on the form. Are you with me? Having that verse translates this in one translation. It says, yes, they will go to church, but they will deny the power thereof. Isn't that interesting? They'll go to church. They will have a form. What's that mean? They're going to C4C every year. Been here, got the new t-shirt. They come up and do all the things here. They got the form down. They talk the talk, man. They carry the book. They've got this. They got the scriptures. They got all the right equipment. And all this is this is good in its own way. Don't get me wrong. But you can't win with form alone. There's no winner who can win. Tiger Woods can teach you the perfect form, but that doesn't mean you're going to be a champion golfer. There's got to be some kind of power within that supplies that. Are you with me? Because power produces results. Got it? Can't win with form alone. There has to be some kind of power to get the true victory. Some of us have been doing form after form after form for years, and we're still at that commonplace. And God created us to operate on a level that the world is not familiar with, all for His glory. It's not going to be here. I wish it would. Golly, if we could get everybody in here to listen. Everybody in here right now to just be on the edge of your seat going, man, that's time for me to operate on that level. But it's not for you. That's what David did. He did it all through. He always talked about the glory of God. Everything. This battle will be for His glory. Goliath, all the earth will know there's a God. David had this revelation down. And the Spirit, he was anointed to do this. Amen? It's time for it to work in you. It's not just for television ministers. It's not just for ones who speak at C4C. Billy Brim, Steve Munns, Chip Brim. It's for you. And it's for your daily lives. But it's time for you to operate on this level. God did not create anybody to be common. How do we reach the world? How do we reach them? Cricket? All right, here we go. Are you getting anything? You want to know about this? They'll walk the walk, they'll talk the talk. Mom, I was sharing this with Mom. I preach everything to Mom first. See if it's okay if I can preach it. And we were talking about that form of godliness. And she said, Chip, I'm reading this book right now. And the book is by Eddie Hyatt. And it's called 2,000 Years of Charismatic Christianity. And she said, this guy is kind of known for the charismatic movement. He's written the best books. And he traced the power all through the Bible and all through the days. And he traced the gifts. And he said this. He said, church in the book of Acts was a completely supernatural, charismatic church. It operated in the power and all the gifts. He said, but then came a demise of the Holy Spirit and the gifts. Started a weakening. Dark Ages came, Catholic Church locked up the Bible, all these things. But they said, here's the reason why the demise of the power. You ready for this? The power was replaced by organizational structure. Form of godliness. How many in here have a form of godliness? Probably almost everybody in here. You got the t-shirts, you got the Bible, you got the scriptures, you got the equipment, you got the knowledge. But who in here? Who in here is operating not on your power? Not on your equipment. On a whole different level. Somebody plugged in. So now when we start putting the spiritual laws behind this thing, and we start speaking about this power and what it is to help us, and we know about it, and it's all for His glory, you're going to operate on a level the world's not familiar. David operated on that level. There's no way David could have killed that giant, that lion, that bear, nothing. He could not have been a king. He did not have the education to be a king. Couldn't have done it. There may be kings, there may be presidents in here. You may be anointed to be the president of the United States. You start saying it right now, if you believe it and God showed it to you, you will be. You may be anointed to be a governor. You may be anointed to do this. Another power, not yours. The anointing. But I don't know about you, but I'm not going to be one who denies the power in the last days. And the Bible says, oh yeah, there will be. And they'll look and they'll sound and they'll act just like Christians. I'm not trying to put anything down about this, but it's time to operate in that power. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hey, this is still in my notes. That's why I'm kind of going back and forth. Is that all right?
Yes.
All right. And he went on to say, let me go on to say what he said. He said, for 2,000 years, he said, but there was always someone, or there was always some group that moved in this power. No matter how dark or weak it got, he said there was always some group or someone who moved it. And he said they were always the minority and they were usually persecuted. And then in 1901 in Topeka, Kansas, there was a restoration of the charismatic movement. And revival has been spreading ever since. Parham, you got his desk. How come you didn't get the anointing? But anyway, just kidding. No, that's an inside joke. All right. He has the desk of that guy's talking about, don't you? Because he was in Topeka, right? Praise the Lord. All right, now here we go. You ready to hear about it? What we did to tap into it? Okay, I not only spiritually advise or did advise the athletes at Oral Roberts University, but God has blessed me and opened doors. He has done it to where, because he knows the desires of my heart, to spiritually advise other athletes as well. I advise professional athletes and ex-athletes. I've got one who was a 3-time Super Bowl winner. And now God has hooked me up with an actor in Hollywood. And now that's kind of spreading. Things are happening. But this all started when I was spiritually advising a young man who's like a spiritual son to me, Rodney Clark. Now, Rodney's sister's here. Stand up, Cassie. Faster than that. Thank you. All right. Cassie is one of the best girls basketball players in the nation. Now, Cassie, I'm starting to now spiritually advise Cassie. And Cassie will listen to me. Now, to be spiritually advised, you have to listen. You have to have a willing, coachable, teachable spirit. Not a too cool for school spirit. A coachable, teachable, let's do it. What do you got? I'll commit to it and let's do it. Are you with me? Her brother... When we started contacting Rodney a little bit more, now let me tell you something about Rodney. Rodney was already good. Rodney practices. I mean, Cassie, give me an idea of the number of shots he would take a day, the most he would take. How many? Over 1,000 a day. And Rodney is a 6-foot white boy. Opie Taylor. Oh, you guys don't know that. All right. What would relate to them? Doug Funny. No. Not your typical what every college or professional basketball team wants. Are you with me? All right. And Rodney would practice, and he was good. And I'll tell you what he had down before I even ever got to him. He always, you never did not hear him say, I do this for the glory of God. Every interview, everything he did was for the glory of God. And he was in Oklahoma, and he was a senior this past year. But I connected with him about middle sophomore or junior year, wasn't it? Because you told me to go to the gym, and that's when the connection made. And he said, Chip, you'll be amazed at when you see him play. And I was amazed. And then his dad and I were best friends growing up. And now his dad's brothers, Rocky and him, and I are best friends. And so there was like a family. So Rodney was good. So I was just helping Rodney spiritually. That's all we're doing, spiritually. And Rodney had the glory for God, and everything was going good, and he's doing great. We get about junior year. All of a sudden, I hear this testimony from Reggie Bush. How many's ever heard of Reggie Bush? Reggie Bush wins the Heisman Trophy, USC running back, and he went to the Saints. He gets up, and during his speech, he says this. Now, this is when all this power that we tapped into. We tapped into something that I've never tapped into before, and you're about to hear it. Reggie says in his acceptance speech in the back, he's got the Heisman Trophy, the best running football player in the nation. What do you count it for? He said, well, I'll be honest with you. He said, my dad took me to a T.D. Jakes meeting when I was little. And all of a sudden, my ears are like, what? He said, we went to a T.D. Jakes meeting, and T.D. Jakes was speaking on how you're anointed to do what God has called you to do. Not just ministry. What has God called you to do? And you can do that with a power that's supernaturally not yours on a level. Oh, man. He's little. He goes, Daddy, am I anointed to run the football? His daddy smiled and said, yeah, I believe you are. He goes, I believe I am too. He goes, next thing I know, I'm accepting the best football player award in the nation. Are you with me? He got on a, now see, that's how your fame will go out and you'll get opportunities to reach the world. Jesus' fame had to spread. He didn't do it for his fame, but it had to in order to reach. Are you with me? Okay. So he said, Daddy, am I anointed? And his daddy said, yeah, start saying it. And he said, I started speaking it. I'm anointed to run the football. Man, I don't know if you ever watched him. You need to see some highlight clips of him at USC. It was absolutely amazing. Now, I go back and I tell Rodney, I share this with Rodney. Now, Rodney's already good. So was he. So was Reggie. Some of you are already good at what you do. You know, you got all the right equipment, whatever. We're talking about a different power. That's not yours. In a different equipment bag. You may be a minister. But anyway, he does it. And I tell Rodney, I said, Rodney, we need to put this thing into spiritual laws. We need to do Mark 11:20. We don't just need to know. See, the church, a lot of times, we'll get so much knowledge and we'll get so much information that we'll know it. Oh, I know that. You know how many times I'll preach something or teach something or coach something? I know that. And I'm thinking, well, why in the world are you not operating in it? My pastor, Keith Moore, people say, oh, I tried that faith thing. He says, no, the faith thing tried you. You didn't work. Oh, I tried. Some of you will do. Oh, I tried that anointing thing. I tried that power thing Chip did. It didn't work. Went 3 weeks, tried it. No, it tried you. You didn't work. Anytime you tell a champion coach or a player you tried something, you just also told them you quit something. If you say I tried, that means you ain't doing it no more. And you quit it. I'm not trying faith. I'm living faith. I don't care what comes my way. I believe what the Bible says. Amen? I'm not trying the love walk. I'm going to live the love walk. Amen? I might slip and fall, but I'll get right back in it. Amen? Glory to God. I just need 6 of you. I'd rather have more, but hopefully there's 6 of you. So Rodney started, Rodney said, well, what do I say? I'll never forget we're talking. I said, well, why don't we say this? Because I was thinking of David, what he said to Goliath. All the earth will know. I said, why don't we say this? And I know it wasn't me. Come from my spirit. I said, Rodney, why don't you start saying this? I'm going to play basketball on a level that the world is not familiar with, all for the glory of God. I said, do you believe that? And he said, yeah, I believe it. I said, you believe you're anointed to play basketball? And he said, yeah, I believe I'm anointed to play basketball. And I said, from here on out, I want you to say it with your mouth. And so that's why a lot of times, I don't know if Taylor was sitting by me or whoever, during playoffs or during any kind of game, if I was there, if I wasn't there, a lot of the family members didn't know. He's calling me he's out in the outside with his dad on a cell phone calling me, and I may be in California or whatever, and we're going, what is that again? I'm anointed. I'm anointed. I mean, right before you can hear the band going on and everything. And now number 15, Rodney Clark. And he goes, what? I'm anointed to play basketball on a level that the world is not familiar. I mean, it got that close sometimes. And I'm going to tell you something about Rodney. He always gave glory to God, and that's what we said. They said, that's the motive. Everybody say motive. Motive. The motive is to give him glory. Yeah. Don't ever get out of that motive. Right. See, that spirit, that anointing was on Saul, but it left him. It left him because Saul, remember, what? Everybody was saying, David killed 10,000, I killed. That angered Saul. His motive changed. The power left him. And it came on David and it said, from that day on, from that day forward, the scripture says, David was anointed. To do what? Whatever he did. I got to kill something? I'll be anointed to do it. He couldn't have killed a lion, bear, or a giant without it. be the king. He had anointing to do it. Amen? Glory to God. So Rodney did it. And like I said, I don't want to. He was already really good. And Rodney even had a deal where he came up with, he made the 3 G's. He put it on his tennis shoes, 3 G's. And that meant giving God glory. And you know, every opportunity he'd give God glory. Well, all of a sudden, I was inspired by the Lord to say this. I said, Rodney, because you're going to be saying this, there are going to be people who come to you and say, there's something about you. There are going to be coaches. There are going to be recruiters. Now, Rodney's a 6-foot white boy. I don't know that can't jump that good. I mean, he can jump a little bit. He's dunking now, but there's something about you. I don't know what it is. This is what people are going to say. And I said, Rodney, when they say that, that's the anointing that they're not familiar with. Are you with me? And sure enough, I came into the gym one time, and he was playing, and there were, I don't know, remember that when the recruiting was going on and all those coaches would come? I mean, every coach, Kentucky, Kansas, Gonzaga, all of them were coming. Everybody wanted him. Everybody wanted him. Everybody in the nation wanted him. He got 2,500 letters. And I was sitting behind Alford and the Gonzaga coach, Steve Alford, who was at Indiana, but now is at New Mexico or something like that. And they both, and I'm sitting back there with Kelly, his uncle, and I heard them say, there's something about this kid I'm not familiar with. But I got to have him. 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 2,500 letters to a 6-foot white Opie Taylor from Verdigris, Oklahoma. That the world was not familiar. He breaks the all-time scoring record in the state of Oklahoma that was set for years. He broke it at 3,758. He owns it. Who owns it? A spirit-filled, anointed man of God. Who gave God glory. That gives God glory. He played on a level, and he does today. You go in there, Rocky says, you'll just say, wow. All you can say is, wow. It's the anointing. It's operating in that boy because he gives. His motives are right. He gives God the glory, and he'll even tell you, there's times I'm playing. It's not me. There's a power that's coming through me. There's more equipment that he didn't know about. Amen. He's playing on a level. Not only that, he got invited to 3 NBA camps. Kobe Bryant invited the top 20 guards in the nation. He was one of them. Kobe made 20 pairs of shoes for these guys. He was one of them. LeBron James invited him up to his. Yeah, another NBA camp in South Carolina or something like that. I'm looking at Cassie to make sure all these things are right. ESPN ranked him as the number. I was sitting there watching these scrolls going across, and it says top ranked Rodney Clark signs. ESPN had him as the 6th best guard in the nation, as high as in one of their polls. They almost got it right. He's the best. And Rodney's not a bragger. He's just all the glories to God. I'm telling you, anybody talks to him, all the glories to God. And he went to the top 100 camp, and he came back, and I said, Rodney, you got to see the top 100 players in the nation. How do you fare? And he said, man, I'm better than all of them. But he knows it's not just him. And he's operating on this level. He put this thing into practice. Now, I share the Rodney story with this little guy who picks me up at the airport, and I'm preaching in a church in Hollywood, California. He picks me up. He looks like an Orlando Bloom type kid. Ugly kid. Compared to me and Steve, you know. But anyway. And he said, I said, what are you up to, man? He's just a good old boy. And he said, I just started into acting. I'm doing these really small commercials, you know, and I'm doing a couple little modeling shots. And I said, can I tell you something that you'd be interested in? He said, yeah. I told him what was happening with Rodney, what was going on with Rodney and the level he was playing on. And he said, can I do that? And I said, do you believe it? Will you be committed to it? Will you say it no matter what you feel, even if you have a bad day and it seemed like nothing's happened, but you commit to it? You'll live by it? He said, I'll do it. I'll do it. And so he started doing it. I am anointed to act. I'm anointed to get roles. I'm anointed to get parts. I'm anointed to do this on a level the world won't be familiar with, all for the glory of God. Yes. Candy's, my wife's here. About a month later, I get a text. Chip, call me. Called him. What was it? You got TV? Yeah, you got CSI's on tonight. I got the part on CSI. I said, what? You don't even have any background. He said, Chip, was it a Vegas one, Candy, or what was it? It was something about no bull. It was about this bull riding. It was a CSI deal on bull riding. And he was up for a cowboy part. You can go back and watch it. And he said, Chip, I've been born and raised in Hollywood. I've never been a cowboy. I look like a cowboy? I said, no, you don't look anything like a cowboy. He don't talk like nothing. He said, when I got there, all these guys who had been cowboys had been acting in cowboy roles. I mean, had the stance and everything else. He said, and there I am. He said, the producer from CSI walked down it. He said he didn't have much time. He walks right down it. He stops at me and he said, this is exactly what he said. You're the one. They didn't even read a script, nothing. He said, there's something about you, I don't know what it is. You should have seen it. His part was, he was supposed to come off the dance floor and find this guy shot in the bathroom stall, you know, shotgun wound. And he comes off the dance floor. Candy and I laughing because he's not even really good. I mean, he's like... And he wrote me back and he started getting other parts. And he got a G.I. Joe part in a movie. I don't know if you've ever heard of these guys, but he's done a movie now that's not out yet with Jim Carrey, a guy named Jim Carrey. Yeah. It's a spinoff of Liar Liar. He did one with a guy named Shia. You've heard of him? And he's doing one right now with a guy named Will Smith. Name of the movie, 7 Pounds. Nobody knows about it. He's in it. Every producer in Hollywood wants him. He texted me back and he said this text. Things are changing drastically and effortlessly with major results. He said, it's not me. But he says, I give God glory every time. I said, you keep giving God glory. And he'll use you on a level. And that anointing, the power of the Holy Spirit will operate in you that you could never even imagine or think. Or are you with me? Is anybody? Is are the sick still listening? But these two guys would say it every day. They would put the laws into action. Are you with me? I am anointed. I am anointed. I'm anointed to preach. I'm anointed to preach the word of God on a level the world's not familiar with. They'll want to get familiar with. Amen. And it's all for his glory. I'm anointed to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Amen. Come on now, this thing don't stop. I'm anointed to run a business. You could have a construction business and you start operating in this thing out of your own power, but on the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, come upon you. And they won't be familiar with it. Amen. Yes. Trying to do it on your own. Glory to God. But we it's not just good enough to know about this guy. You've got to operate in it. All right. Glory to God. So I take this to 240 athletes at Oral Roberts University. I thought, man, here I am to 700 and whatever here. Or 470. Evidently, next year is going to be 700 and something. Because of what about some of you are about ready to do when you leave here. We're going to have actors and we're going to have professional athletes coming in here because of what some of you guys are going to be doing. We're going to affect the world. We're going to be world changers. But you can't do it with just your knowledge and just your form of godliness. You can't do it. That's type one. You got to have the guy who's plugged in. And we plugged into it. And it's an effortless, sweatless, guaranteed, easy victory. Yeah. Amen. Not every champion has to sweat to win. So I present it to 240 athletes. A lot of them like you. I'm seeing heads turn. I'm seeing yawning. I'm seeing some of you in and out. I can see some of you passing notes. I can see some of you on the edge of your seats. I told them just like I'm telling you. I'm not mad at you. Just some of you just need to learn how to be coached a little bit. When a coach gets intense sometimes, it's because he cares about you. He wants you to reach the top, reach the pinnacle, win the prize, wear the ring. Sometimes it takes a little bit of that fire. Amen. And I told them, you know, most of them right here, blue chip athletes from wherever. And a couple dozen came in my office and tried it. Yeah, I tried that, one baseball player. Yeah, but I went 0 for 3 against Texas and it didn't work. I said, you don't got it and you don't want it. I said, you can't try it. Gave it to the whole speech. But six of them, say six.
Six.
Six of them committed to it. Oh, gosh. The first one was Moses. Everybody say Moses. 6'6" guy from Texas, Moses. Just, y'all know Moses. I mean, they love Moses. Everybody loves Moses. 6'6" black guy built like a Greek god. Isn't he? I mean, and I'd heard about Moses, he was a senior that year, and the most he'd ever scored was 23 points in his career in one game. And he heard about it, and I told him about Rodney, and I told him about the actor and all of this, and he said, I can do it. I can do it. And next game, he didn't do it, but he kept doing it. He said, Chip, I said, Moses, you keep saying it. You keep doing it. You got to commit to it. This ain't no trying thing. Satan's going to try everything he can to keep it from happening, but he can't stop it. It's too much of a power. Don't unplug that power. About 3 games later, against some big D1 school on TV and ESPN, Moses scores 40 points. The most he ever scored was 23. They interviewed him. They said, what was it? He goes, it had to be the Holy Ghost. Yeah. That's what he said. It's the Holy Ghost. Moses hears it. He tells some others. Three little bitty cute girls golfers, you know, that didn't have a chance of making the team. And we had a girl that was supposed to just win the national championship. And these little girl golfers just... I mean, one in particular, Christy, she said, I'd hit a golf ball, didn't matter if it went right or in the woods or whatever. I'm anointed to hit this next shot for the glory of God. And she goes, I'm anointed to make this putt. I'm anointed. And she, every day we read about Christy in the paper. Every day we would read about Moses in the paper. Their fame would spread. And they were giving God the glory. Christy went on to the national tournament. All these others went on to the national tournament. And all of a sudden, Christy goes back to her church, Billy Joe Daugherty's church. And all these little girls remember Christy at their high school. She wasn't very good. Christy, what's happening? How are you playing on this level? You're on the front page of the Tulsa World every day. She goes, Chip Brim, our spiritual advisor, did this. And she starts talking about all this. They go, can we do it? And she texted me all this. And they said, yeah, you can do it. So she taught them. And one of those girls took it and went to the state track meet and won state first place in the state track meet. And in the paper, she gives glory to God. Moses, the Holy Ghost. Everybody, that's the motive. Don't get away from the motive. Two baseball players, one named Carlos, bless his darling little heart. Little Carlos from California, he was there, a walk-on. Little bitty guy, pitcher. Now, I don't know if you know about ORU's baseball program, but we're top 20 in the nation. And Carlos comes up, he's not getting a chance, man. But he's doing this. He's saying this, and in the natural, it looks like he's not even getting an opportunity to do this. They're not even letting him play. Look, he's still doing it. I'm anointed to pitch for the glory of God. I'm anointed to pitch on a level the world's not familiar with. Little Carlo, and he never gets to pitch. About a quarter of the season goes through. Somebody wasn't there. Somebody got ineligible. Somebody was hurt. Carlos, you got to pitch. I'm anointed to pitch. He gets out there and he's saying it the whole time. He's warming up. I'm anointed to pitch on a level the world's not familiar with. From that day on, he went 12-0 and made first team All-American. I'm not lying. First team All-American got drafted
The other one got drafted by the Angels. Carlos got drafted by the Brewers or somebody like that. And now he's playing professional baseball right now. But some of you got the form down. You're champion form, people. It's time to see results. Are you plugged into the power or are you not plugged into power? You've been trying this thing, or are you doing this thing? You committed or not committed? Six of them did it. I go to Lincoln, California. I'm giving this. I'm preaching this. And all of a sudden, the Lord says to me, somebody's got a testimony. I just preached the thing. How can they have a testimony? But I'm going to obey. Somebody's got a testimony. This guy raised his hand. About 30 years old. This happened, what, Candy, about a month or two ago. Raised his hand. Candy, or Taylor was there. He said, I got a testimony. I said, okay. Hand the microphone. He said, I know you just preached this, but he said, you had lunch with my pastor about 3 months ago, and he said, you told him all about this, and it was in you, and it was, you know, really burning it. So he comes home, and I went to him and with my problem, and he said, here's what Chip said was going on. He said, so I started doing it. And I said, well, what happened? He said, well, I had been given some money from my grandpa or something, and he knew to start a gourmet popcorn business. Some of you going, that ain't God. Who are you to say that ain't God? Who are you to say who goes to heaven and who goes to hell? Boy, I'd hate to be preaching, you're going to go to hell and you're going to go to... I'd hate to be saying that. Who are you to say? God told him. He said, I knew it was God. So I put all my money in it, and it's just drained out. Isn't it? I'm losing everything. He said, pastor comes back, and he goes, he hears it. I'm anointed to sell popcorn. Gourmet popcorn on a level that the world's not familiar with, all for the glory of God. Tears sometimes. Are you with me?
Yeah.
The pressure. No, I'm anointed. He said, Chip, last week I got a phone call from the Sacramento Kings NBA team. The president or somebody got a hold of my popcorn. They want me to be a sponsor. They want my popcorn sold at every one of their games. He says they want my face with the popcorn on the Jumbotron one time every quarter of the game. He said, can I put anything I want on it? They said, can I put for the glory of God? He said, put whatever you want on it. We've got to have this popcorn. He's signing a, it's just like a deal, man. They're doing it's almost a six-figure contract with him, money-wise. He said, Chip, it's not over there. He said, I don't know if you've heard this, but there's a thing on Oprah. She's got a thing called Oprah's Favorites. Oprah's people is contacting me right now. Oprah got a hold of it. And they're talking to me about being on Oprah. I said, well, I'll tell you this. I said, if I'm watching you on Oprah and you don't give glory to God, you'll see a guy running past these, you know, these security men with things in their ear, and I'll be coming towards you. And I'll grab your little microphone and I'll say, you give God glory. And he said, I'll do you one better. You come on Oprah with me. You don't know. It ain't about Oprah. I'm telling you. What have we limited ourselves to? It's time to plug into this power, this anointing. Amen. What have we tapped into? What did we do? We're all sitting there looking at ourselves. All of us at the end of the year when God had released me from going from there, we're looking at ourselves, having tears of hugging and joy and saying, what did we tap into that a lot of Christians are not tapping into who have been preaching and teaching this thing for years? What have we done? And Christy goes, yeah, it's like our fame has spread. And then all of a sudden we thought of that scripture, Jesus' fame spread. So we went to that and we looked at it. Let's see where that's at. Some of you might know right where it's at. Anybody? Okay, Luke 3:22. No, that's not it. Luke 4:14. Luke 4:14. No, yo, look at me. And Jesus returned in the what? Nobody knew him from 1 to 30. He did not lay hands and do one miracle. Not one healing until the anointing. Until the power. Nobody knew his fame until the power. Every time you see Holy Spirit or Spirit, you'll see the connection of the power. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there, everybody say there. And there, say it again, went out a fame of him throughout the whole region about. It's time for your church. It's time for your ministry. It's time for what God has called you to do. For the fame to spread out. But it's only when you're operating in the power. And you have to put this into practice. What do we tap into? We spoke it. 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 The Lord said you had to speak it. David had to speak to Goliath. The anointing was on him, but he had to release it. When you speak it, it releases the anointing. It's not just good enough to sit there. I got all the verses. I've been to Bible school 3 times. I've been to Go Ministry. Been to Champions for Christ every year. Whoop-dee-doo. What power. I mean, come on. He said it was the same with me. Listen to what God said. Genesis 1. Let me read this to you. Good night. Good Lord God Almighty. Oh. Ready? This is what he told me and I had to write it down. And the earth was without, this is Genesis 1:3, was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Stay with me. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. Now that's the muscle of God. That's the power that you're about to operate in. It's not your power. It's moving, but it's not operating. Why? It's waiting on the words of God to speak. Let there be light. Oh, come on. Come on. God had to speak it. Rodney had to speak it. That popcorn dude had to speak it. The actor guy had to speak it. And 6 others. 8 total. I wonder who the 8 are in this one. I'm looking at faces, but... Come on. Come on. And God said, let there be light. Bam. We tapped into it. Glory to God. That's what we tapped into. Now Jesus was anointed. And it says here, there was no fame until he was anointed. Acts 10:38. Put Acts 10:38 up there. Jesus could not have done what he did without this power, without this anointing. He did not operate as the Son of God. He said, remember in the synagogue, I am anointed. Well, why would God have to anoint God? Who can anoint God? He didn't operate as the Son of God. He operated as a mere man under the power that you're hearing about now. That's for you. Available on a daily basis. Free of charge. All right. Now here's my definition of the anointing. Now there's many. And we know that it comes from the same word unction. The charismatic word in the Greek. But here's my definition of how, what qualifies you, because when I showed this to the 6 or the 240, 6 of them said, that's it right there, that's me. How God anointed, God here anointed the verb, right? God anointed who? Okay, so Jesus was anointed. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with, now here comes the with. Anointed with. How am I anointed? What with? With the Holy Ghost. And with power. Now, in the Old Testament days, it had to come upon them. Elijah, the Spirit of God, the anointing of God, the power of God came on him.
He outran a horse for 26 miles. Not the old Mr. Ed, the mare in the back. We're talking about the king's chariot horse. Do you think, I have this picture of Elijah with huge thighs, huge calves, always training for a race, looking one day for a race. Always got a guy with him with a slingshot to start it off if he needs to. Oiling down. Man, one day I'm going to race a horse. One day I'm going to, huh? You want to go? Let's go. I'll go. Didn't have, okay. No anointing over here. Anyway, I just tease. Do you picture that? He outran a horse. Can you imagine? Oh, my Lord. He knew it wasn't him. I've had Rodney tell me there was days like when he dunked it and his first dunk against Jinx, and he'd tell me some of the, man, there was things I did. I wasn't me. It was like everything was going in. I remember Taylor one time in a really crucial game to get us to go to state, shot three-pointers. They were hitting the top of the backboard and bouncing in. All she needed to do was just do that. It wasn't pretty, but they were going in. It's amazing. Remember that game? Oh, my goodness. But anyway, angels were at work. That same game, Cassie, you shot one. Remember that big three in the overtime, and you said it was going left. All of a sudden, it turns right. Goes in. Oh, my goodness. All right. But anyway, everybody has this picture of a Samson. And they'll have him on their desk, and he's just buff dude. Why would God use a buff dude to prove his point? I promise you, when we get to heaven, we're all going to go, you're Samson? He'll go, yeah. Steve, same size. But if you go back and read that, twins. Hey. But if you go back and read that, he killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He couldn't have done it without it. He had to have the anointing. You could get, who's the all-time ultimate cage fighting? You guys watch this all the time. Okay, let's take that guy in his prime. Put him in a cage, and then I will go get, because he killed 1,000 men, Samson did. We'll get the toughest dude, and that dude's bad. And there ain't nobody in here who in the natural would want to fight that dude. And I'll go down the library and get 1,000 nerds. Steve's relatives. I'll lay off the... The anointing is stronger, actually. But anyway, no. He's going to get another... And I can take those 1,000 in there. Now, that dude he's talking about, who's the all-time ultimate, he'll kill a few of them, but those 1,000 will overtake him. Only the anointing and the power of God could have done that. Are you with me? David was the same way. David knew. Now listen to me, guys. Think about this for a second. David was the greatest king Israel ever had. He killed a giant that nobody, even a country, would fight. He killed a lion and a bear with his bare hands as a boy. Do you think he could have done that on his own? But what happened? He's out there seeking God. That'll increase your anointing. There's things that will increase and decrease your anointing. Studying will increase your anointing. Are you with me? All these things will increase it. Speaking in tongues. Woo! Are you kidding me? Why wouldn't you want this power? Speaking in tongues will increase that anointing. And there's things that will decrease it. Not doing that. Not seeking God. Not fellowshipping with God. And it's not there. Even though you have all this spiritual knowledge and equipment. You're trying to run a ministry. You're trying to do good for God. Now, where was I right there? Anyway, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with what?
Power.
Holy Ghost and power. They're always together. Remember Jesus, the power and the Spirit, who went about. Now, everybody, you'll go read those old-timer books and they'll talk about you got to have the anointing to be a prophet, apostle, a teacher. Yes! But he was also anointed to do good. Everything Jesus did was anointed. Are you with me? Anything he did that was doing good. And when you do it good, what? For the glory of God. Everything you do. So what do you do? What has God called you to do? What is it? You can do it anointed. On a level that the world is not familiar with. All for the glory of God. Amen. So there's your scripture right there. You. And we're not talking about being filled with the Spirit. That's a whole different thing. We're talking about your new birth experience. That right there is when it comes on you and in you. Amen. That's where the anointing is. How many are anointed right now? Say, I'm anointed. Say, I'm anointed. To do good. On a level that the world is not familiar with. All for the glory of God. Now listen to what I'm adding in, Steve. I'm anointed to give on a level that the world is not familiar with. You are. Oh, you're giving what? $100,000. You're giving what? $1 million. The world, that'll get the world's attention. How's that happening? What are you doing? I'm not familiar with it. I got to know what's going on. Man, it's not me. It's the third person of the Trinity. Smeared and rubbed all over me. Operating and making my little natural self become supernatural. Now you're going from Clark Kent to Superman. Now you're making things that were impossible possible. You can't do it on your own. You have to be plugged into the power. What did we tap into? We were amazed. But then Richard Cardoza. Do you know Richard Cardoza? He was with Brother Hagin. He's got a church in Mather, California. He was with Brother Hagin for years, and he came up and prophesied, and he says, what you have tapped into is your mouth has released it on a daily basis. So what you've done is you've released the power on a daily basis. You have tapped into it. And so that was from the Lord. And so that's what I want to share with you today. Glory to God. Are you getting anything?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Now, Jesus was anointed by the Holy Ghost to do good. Now, let's go back to David for a second. David, you guys are all right?
Yes.
David was seeking God as a shepherd boy. Now, it's time for us to be world changers, but some of you, your first thoughts will be, how can I be a world changer? Little old me going to little old school in this little old town and this little old job and this little old house and this little old... Well, you know, it's that type of thinking that'll keep you from doing great things for God. And it's a good thing David didn't say that. Now, David's out there and he's seeking... So you go back to your little old school. Some of you might go to schools with 100 kids in it. How can I? I'm not even in Go Ministry. It doesn't matter. It's not you, the power we're talking about. He'll equip you. See, and David goes back and he's just watching the sheep. He's just doing what he knows to do. He's fellowshipping and seeking God, getting close to him. What's that? Increases the anointing. He's doing the right things, right? He's not just a form of godliness. I mean, he's plugged in. So all of a sudden, Samuel comes, and we know what happens. He says, Jesse, one of your boys is the king, and he picks the wrong dude. Remember that? He picks his oldest brother. And he said, well, where's the other? Is there any others? Yeah, there's one out there. So they get David. David comes in. Here's where it began. Are you with me? And it will with you. He came in. And he said, this is him. He anoints him with oil, just runs down him. And from that day forward, the Bible says he was anointed. Everything he went about doing, he was anointed to do. He was not only anointed to be the king, he was anointed to fight. And the Bible says, fight the good fight of faith.
Elijah was anointed to run. Aren't we supposed to run a race? You can be anointed to run the race. I am anointed to resist the devil. Oh, you didn't hear me. I'm anointed to overcome. I'm anointed to prosper. I am anointed to triumph in Christ Jesus, the anointed one, on a level that the world will not be familiar with. Everything I set my hands to is anointed. Look what is coming out of my mouth. It's in action. From that day forward, David left anointed. He goes back. All of a sudden, he hears about a fight. Something's going on. He's going to serve cheese and crackers. Now, he still remembers that time he was anointed, and Samuel even said to be king. Right? So he goes there, and he hears what's going on. And all of a sudden, he overheard what the winner gets. And one of them was the king's daughter. Now, for years, I thought, David did this approach. Is she hot? Because I've been in this with these sheep for a long time. And we all know David. So, but here's what I truly believe in my spirit. Why he asked two, and some scholars say he made him say it three times. But why I have found in the Bible two times, he made him repeat it. Say that again. You're the little cheese and cracker boy. Chill out. What's the winner get? The taxes off, really? You get the king's done. I can see him doing this. Watch this. Royalty. Married into royalty. King. Samuel. God anointed me to be the king. This is the open door. This is... I remember that C4C rally where Samuel anointed me. This is, anybody see what I'm talking about? I remember that message that God gave through. This is it. Say it again. Well, they get the king's daughter. It doesn't matter if she's hot. Good person. I know. And also, the king. I'm anointed to beat this giant. I'm anointed to beat this giant. I'm anointed. I got anointed. He anointed me. God anointed me through this prophet. I'm anointed to beat this giant. Let's go. Let's get him. And the whole time he's going at him, he's speaking. I'm going to cut your head off. I'm going to feed. That anointing is in him. He's doing things that he never thought he could do. And here he goes, and people behind bushes watching him couldn't believe it. The world was not familiar with what was going on. And David's last words were, and the whole earth shall know that there is a God in Israel. Woo! He had to speak it. It released it. He knew he was anointed, but he had to speak it. God had to speak it to form the earth. It was there hovering. No speaking, no power. You speak it daily. I'm anointed. Say, I'm anointed. Some of you not even saying it. Lord, help me. Walk in love. He's got to help me. Because if he was on my team, you'd be throwing up in about 15 minutes. What happened in that cave? They wanted that giant killing anointing. And he went on to be the king. How? The anointing. He could have said, but I'm just a little shepherd boy and I've never been to Bible school and I don't know very many verses and I don't. Are you with me? But he didn't. He had an anointing. Amen? He had an anointing to play the harp. He had an anointing to write the song. He was anointed, and there's some anointed writers in here. There are people, oh, I hear you, Lord. There are people in the sound of my voice, when you apply this and do this, you will write books on a level that the world is not familiar with. All for the glory of God. Don't you leave out that motive, you will never see it work. Saul's motive changed, and he changed. Amen? His personality will take over your personality.
His character will take over your character. You'll preach, if you're a minister and you start saying, Jesus always said he was anointed. Oh, we got to go to that part. All right. You guys all right? Hey, are you all right? Now, wait a minute. Before we get to Jesus, let me read this about